This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and we are now coming up on the Rangers pregame. We're going to chat with Jared Sandler here momentarily about the big stories, who's coming back. At 877-881-1053, your Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line questions or thoughts about the Rangers are welcome. As Sands joins us now here, his Ranger preview brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Buddy, how the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. We just had an Everybody Loves Raymond segment with Dave Raymond. We do it prior to the second game of every series, and I'm fired up after talking to Dave. I just love – last night was such a fun game. It was very unique. It was fascinating from a strategic standpoint. I think it's a part of what makes this sport so great, or has the ability to. You really give fans an opportunity with the pace of the game to try play along with the manager and make decisions. And last night was one of those types of games where there's some interesting decisions laid. And I know the White Sox stink, but you know these are meaningful games for the Rangers, and because of that, and because you had a near sellout crowd, the game felt like it had some intensity to it. And thankfully the Rangers came out on top.
Do you think Bochy got thrown out on purpose to try to fire the team up?
If I had a guess, maybe, yeah. I mean, listen, this guy knows the rules, right? And he knew the rule, and I think he even said that he walked away thinking he probably was wrong. I think the minute he left the dugout, he knew if he was going to put in the effort to walk up those steps, he wasn't staying in the game. I think, you know, I was talking to someone the other day. I forget who. Oh, it was Steve Buschel. We were talking about, you know, just the energy of a team. I think it was Boo. And, you know, the reality is when – you know, you're not hitting well, it's tough for the team to show energy, right? It's tough to, you might have energy you want to release, but it's tough when, you know, you have all these 1-2-3 innings and stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I think that there's a chance maybe it wasn't totally premeditated, but my guess, if given a binary choice, I'd say, yeah, I think Boch kind of was feeling the way the game was playing out and felt like, you know, he wanted to try and create a spark.
I love when he gets up there and gets in the guy's face. I think you can tell when Bochy's about to get thrown out. He's just had enough. But I wanted to follow up on it being the White Sox. Are you more disappointed they needed to win like that, or are you more encouraged by them doing whatever it takes to get a dub?
Well, I guess I'd say this. Eric Fetty and then tonight's pitcher Garrett Crochet are both really good. And, you know, Fetty was one of the all-star snubs. I think it was just tough for the league to justify putting two all-stars from the worst team in the league. And, you know, their starting pitching here of late, and their pitching has been really good. They've been losing a lot of games like that. Not necessarily, you know, in the 10th inning, walk-off fashion, but they've been losing low-scoring games, you know, a little more than you'd expect for a team that is as bad as they are with the run differential they have. I mean, yeah, you know, yes, Gavin, I know that we always like to talk about how, you know, it doesn't matter, the style points don't matter, a win is a win, but you know, run differential does matter, and the reality is the best teams typically blow out, you know, have more blowout wins than you know, other good teams, but maybe aren't as good, right? Last year's Rangers, they won the World Series. I know they limped into the playoffs to some extent, but they won the World Series, and they would blow teams out throughout the year. They could kick it into that gear. So I guess to some extent, yeah. Maybe more so if it was, you know, someone other than Eric Fetty or Garrett Crochet starting. But, you know, at the end of the day, with where the Rangers are, I think you're more disappointed, Gavin, that the games on July 22nd and 23rd are meaningful games, more so than disappointed in how they're getting the wins. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
What do you think of this lineup tonight against Garrett Crochet?
Is there something you're specifically asking about, Zach?
I'm looking at Robbie Grossman in that two-hole playing some field. Dang it, Jared.
Yeah, no, well, how about Wyatt Langford in center?
Yeah.
You know, getting another crack there. And that's an interesting one as well when and I'll get to the real crux of the question here in a second. But, you know, we're just talking about, all right, hey, if the Rangers do stay in this thing and you know, Evan Carter and Josh Young come back and whatnot, you know, they clearly don't want Leody hitting against lefties, right? Leody, again, not in the starting lineup against a lefty, even though he's been hitting it a little bit better in general. And Evan Carter, if you're playing meaningful games, it's going to be tough unless this offense just takes off and they start scoring a lot of runs and you can maybe hide him in the nine hole, you know, it's going to be tough to see him out there every single night against a lefty. So could you see some White Langford in center field, you know, a little bit more? But I know the real, you know, the real meaning behind the question is with Corey Seager. And guys, I would just say this. I think we all saw how competitive he is. I think it's sometimes tough on the surface because he is so stoic and you wonder, oh, is there fire in there? We saw it last year, right? And
right.
He is as competitive. I mean, when they play games in the clubhouse and, you know, to whatever extent this tells you anything, I mean, he is as competitive playing cards and, you know, if he ever gets on the ping pong table, you know, video games, apparently he's the biggest trash talker, you know, super competitive. I think, you know, these games are meaningful. They all know that. I think it may be instead of people, you know, wondering, gosh, you know, I can't believe he's not in there. I think maybe the way I perceive it and just kind of being around here is this guy's playing through a lot more than I think people realize. And he didn't get a full All-Star break. I know he only played one inning, but you still have to show up and you got to get your swings and you got to make sure you're loose. And I know he had a day off Wednesday, but then you got to work out Thursday. And I just think that, you know, this guy's playing through a ton. And, you know, given that the Rangers don't have an off day until August 1st, this is probably the game that they felt made the most sense to give him a breather.
Hey, Jared, whose at bat were you more impressed with last night late in that game, Himes or Lowe's?
Well, that's a good question. And you know, for people who didn't follow along, you know, Nate Lowe drew a walk with two outs to kind of keep the line moving, and then Jonah Heim battling with two strikes. I guess I'd say Jonah, just because he got a hit, right? Like, as a sure. tiebreaker, they both are really good at bats. And Nate Lowe's been doing a lot of that here recently. I mean, both Nate Lowe and Corey Seager, I tweeted this earlier, they're tied for 15th in Major League Baseball in their walk rate. Nate got off to a really slow start. So did Corey. And, you know, in some ways, similar reasons. Nate had an injury that knocked him out all of spring training except for, you know, the first couple days of games. Corey basically missed all of spring training as well. You know, Nate missed the first few weeks of the regular season, too, and then he got off to a slow start, but he's been a lot better here of late. I think the thing, you know, for me, Brod, is it's not like Jonah Heim has, you know, been just tearing the cover off the ball.
No.
But he comes up in those big moments.
Clutch.
And yeah, he really is. You know, when you look at runners in scoring position here this month, he's been hitting the ball really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at you know, how he does in kind of close and late situations. It seems like, you know, he has some big moments, some big at-bats. And, you know, I thought he competed well. And, you know, it's not like he tore the cover off the ball, but he fouled off some tough pitches, took some tough pitches, and was able to put the ball forward. And, you know, that's all that mattered.
Smacked that pitch up in the end, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And see why we trust, but how could you possibly sell if the variables stay the same? We'll talk with Jared more about that next in the Nation. Yeah, buddy, Sands is with us. The segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Sands, I think it's really unfortunate that these guys are coming back after the deadline, but I think if you stay four games short, there's just, like, selling at that point makes no sense considering the heights that we know this team can get to. And I think CY is in a tough spot here, but unless you slide like seven or eight back, I couldn't justify it right now. What do you think of that?
Yeah, Gavin, I think there are arguments you made on both sides. So let me just start. The argument on the flip side is this is a sub-500 team, and maybe you have a gut, you have a feel that it's just not going to click this year. You're not sure about these injured guys and how much you can really put on their plate, you know, with the extent of the time missed, and that, you know, this is a market that the Rangers can really kind of control as sellers. They might not have the sexiest pitcher or the sexiest position player available from a seller's perspective, but this is a seller's market, and the Rangers have, you know, five or more guys who could be of great appeal, and it could be a really nice quick reload to help this farm system. That is the, you know, that's the counter to that. You know, your side is obviously an incredibly valid side, and that we've seen about, you know, you just get in, anything can happen. I mean, heck, I think it'd be tough to compare the Rangers this year to last year. You know, it was a similar anything can happen principle. They got in limping a little bit, but they also were an outstanding team for a lot of the regular season. But what about the team they played in the playoffs or in the World Series, the Diamondbacks? Diamondbacks, you know, were an anything can happen when you get in team, and you know, I think you look at the Rangers roster, especially their starting pitching, and you think, oh, well, all right, yeah, we can roll with this. So I think it's a really, you're right, it's a really, really tough decision. I think you can justify either side if the return as a seller is, you know, going to be quite appealing given the fact it's a seller's market, which, again, you're not going to necessarily be able to know the answers to that ahead of time.
Pick to click tonight, Jared.
I think I'm going with you.
I mean, when you get an all-star lefty, you can start to have concerns that there may not be any dong balls tonight.
Well, and hopefully he doesn't go too deep into the game. A, protecting him in the event of a trade. B, innings limit. And C, he's just kind of been a 5 to 6 inning pitcher a night. So hopefully they can, you know, maybe make him work and get to the bullpen.
Thanks, Sands. Have a great night. Talk
See
to you tomorrow.
Yep.
There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on X, a must follow for Rangers fans everywhere. Excited about Lankford in center field. You know, in spring training, there was talk about, hey, maybe his instincts aren't there. Maybe his reads off the bat aren't, you know, ideal. And it was kind of, a rookie thing then. Obviously, the injury happened, but I haven't felt a lot of anxiety or concern about Lankford in left, but it's a whole nother ball of wax there when you step into center field. So best of luck to Bang Bang tonight, making it happen, making a good impression on the team. But no doubt about it, he was huge last night, and we can expect nothing short of that. Okay, thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there. You're looking at 4.5 hours once again of flawless radio producing, engineering, and hosting. Thanks to Carter Freeman. He coordinating that video for you at 105@thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. You can watch us 2 to 7 every weekday. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo, of course, and for Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation at Ease.